Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team. We'd like to thank you for tuning in and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. If you need to get a hold of us, you can call me anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. We have our resident in-house lender expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling Bank. Tom, how are you?
I am trying to stay warm, but everything's going good.
Okay, good. For the most part, I think we're going to talk about that a little bit. So Now we will give you 2.4 seconds to bask in your glory.
So I will say that Kayla and I did make it up to the Seahawks Super Bowl celebration. John, I didn't see you there.
No. I had better things to do with my time.
Yes, he did.
We were lucky enough to get front row seats to the stadium, and after the ceremony, Bruno Giacomini came running around and holding the Lombardi up, and my fingertips grazed the top of the Lombardi Seahawks Super Bowl trophy.
Congratulations. Wow. I know it was crazy. I know we had some giveaways surrounding the big game and a lot of hype building up to it. I happened to be in Seattle the Saturday, last Saturday afternoon, and so when I was there, I got to see at night a bunch of the buildings and everything downtown and everywhere.
They
were all lit up, blue and green, and it was really pretty spectacular.
Big 12 painted on the window
everywhere. Yeah. So it was definitely cool to see and exciting for our state. And it was really cool to see. So I'm glad you got to experience some of that. And welcome back,
John. I gotta say, how about those Seahawks?
Well, coming from the perspective of a Green Bay fan, that's nice. So catch up to us, one down, 12 to go.
I like it. That, folks, is our radio expert, Mr. John McKay. John, thanks for helping with the show, and how have you been?
Good. I like the snow.
The snow. You know, we did finally get some. However, from a real estate perspective, I'm going to go ahead and tell you it's not my favorite. We had, like we had talked about the last couple weeks, we had had a really mild January. Mm-hmm. Very mild January. Quick start to the spring market. So we are, and still are, just slammed because before the snow got here, we had a lot of people out looking, a lot of people looking to get their property listed, and so it just kind of makes my world a little difficult, especially for the listings we took yesterday and Thursday, because I don't really want to take snow pictures on Monday, as we know, put those into the MLS. They don't look that great on all of the websites. So
they're good for holiday cards.
Hopefully, it looks like long-term forecast. We're going to warm up a little bit, but it is giving us a chance to get a little bit of a breather. As people can imagine, when it starts to snow like this and get like this, we had a couple cancellations yesterday for showings. People just aren't as likely to get out there and look when they can't quite see the grounds or see what's happening.
And the temperatures, too.
But the numbers for January looked okay as far as, and we were so busy. I looked back in the Association of Realtor numbers. So last January, 303 houses went under contract, and this January, 310. So very similar to last year. But it feels a little quicker to me. I think it was just such mild weather that we had so many more inquiries and people out there looking. Once we get rid of this mess, have our fun this weekend, hopefully get it all melted off, we'll be right back to where we were, and that was looking at the spring market again. Hard to think about with snow on the ground. I know that as you look around. But that's where we're going to be in a matter of weeks, and so we're kind of helping our clients focus on that. We had a couple. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
You know, Lance, I wanted to give a pointer to all our listeners out there, and it really hits close to home. I wake up Thursday morning, and we have absolutely no water in the house at all. And so I'm thinking the worst. I got frozen pipes. I got a dog door that comes into the garage. And so I immediately am thinking the water softener froze up, and all the water runs through the water softener. So there's some sort of blockage there. So I get heaters on it. I'm trying to warm it up. And I'm up there in some of you. So I called some of you Waterworks, and I was not her first phone call this morning. So she comes out, or she sends her tech out, and they take apart the water meter and put it back together. And then the water's running fine. So I'm thinking that they dislodged caught some ice or something and it was frozen at the meter. But I wasn't her first call, and she said that they are now insulating those meters. And I would have never thought to do that. So
that's where the city comes out and reads your water, right?
Yep exactly. Yep. Out towards the street.
Mm-hmm. You got that little door thing and it's underground.
And since that door, and there's probably some gaps there where the pipe won't freeze underground that deep, but likely there's some air movement getting through that gaps in that meter door.
I've never even thought about it until this just happened this last Thursday. Maybe go out there and just stick some insulation down that hole and you won't have to end up like me without water and it's 9 degrees outside.
Yep. Well, that is a great, great tip. We've talked about those winter tips before. And until you're waking up without water, it makes a lot more sense to listen to that. So just a little bit of insulation out there around that meter to keep it warmer.
Yep.
Good idea. Very, very good tip. Well, one of the things, we had a couple transactions last month and a couple new listings. And one of the categories that we haven't talked about on the show in a while, and that is manufactured home sales and some of the differences that pop up when we're looking at that. There's a lot of language out there, and sometimes people aren't exactly sure, you know, what there are, but there's what's known as modular homes, and you might have heard the term mobile homes, manufactured homes, and just a little bit about the differences of it. One of the types, so when you say prefabricated homes, this is kind of a general term that the industry uses, and that's a type of home that's constructed off-site and then transported to the building site. So, and then you've heard some people say, okay, well, what's the difference in modular home, you know, versus like a prefab home? But prefab homes that are constructed in two or more sections at the factory and then transported to the site, they're constructed to conventional building codes, and they have multiple floors and more steeply pitched roofs. That's kind of what's known as the modular home. And then you have a panelized home, and that's like where the wall sections are constructed, and then the wall sections are delivered and then assembled by builders at the site. Sometimes you've heard people call those pre-cuts. So you'll have, you know, four or five different wall sections delivered on a flatbed truck, and then those pre-built wall sections then assembled on the foundation.
Is that how the prefabs in Richmond were made?
Very similar.
Okay.
Exactly. Very similar. So a lot of those were built off-site in sections and then brought in and then assembled in those sections. So typically when we hear that word, what most people are thinking about is manufactured homes. And today's manufactured homes are really, they're kind of somewhere in between the mobile homes of the past and, say, the current modular homes. Usually these houses are single story. Most of the ones that you see nowadays come in what's called a double wide or triple wide configuration. And really, they've come a long way. If you've been in some of the new ones, the amenities and the construction quality and what they're talking about has really come a long way than they were in the past. A lot of times they were known for, you know, not very energy efficient, some gaps, you know, a lot of gaps and a lot of problems. But they've really come a long way, and you see more of them on the market than you have in the past. So there's a couple things, though, to definitely consider. Like, why would you buy a manufactured home? You know, and what are the pros and cons of that? The biggest pro that people see a lot up front is that it's going to be a lot cheaper up front. When you look at the square footage that you can get and the number of beds and baths that you can get, the cost is going to be a lot cheaper. Now, of course, there's a reason for that.
Because it doesn't come with a piece of land.
Right.
We live in one.
It doesn't come with a piece of land. And so, but what happens a lot of times is people start by searching for the land they want. And there's a lot of these times and instances where we help find somebody the perfect lot. But because of the cost of the lot, once they purchase the lot, they might not have enough money to build a standard stick-built home like they originally would have. So that's when they look to the manufactured home to possibly become one of those options. When we're doing that, though, I think one of the biggest issues that we need to look at, and that's where Tom comes into play at Sterling, is financing a manufactured home is a lot different than financing a stick built. And Tom, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of differences that's really important for people to know about when they're interested in getting financing for a manufactured home, and say, versus a stick built. Many of the people I see are purchasing a manufactured home, just like Lance was talking about, are looking for a property with a greater amount of land, but they don't have that budget to get a stick built home with acreage, which generally demands a higher price. So people can usually get more for their money with a manufactured them in terms of square footage, and that's another benefit, like Lance was mentioning. So manufactured homes pose more risk to lenders, so they have guidelines to help mitigate that risk. Most of the time when people are looking to purchase a manufactured home, we use FHA financing. Now, I've talked a lot in the past about FHA financing in general and the various downsides to it. You know, the worst part about FHA is the mortgage insurance never drops off. That's what people might have heard of PMI. They pay it monthly. It never drops off, and that's when they put just 3.5% down. When you put 5% down, they're going to pay it for a minimum of 11 years. So that's a big downside to FHA. Also, the monthly mortgage insurance is also about the highest of any loan program out there. In addition to this PMI that you pay monthly, there's a funding fee that we have to pay to FHA. However, it allows people with lower credit scores and a lower down payment to get financing for a home. So it is still a really great resource for people to use. Now, for most people, it's generally a far better option than, say, renting a home. So I still think it's a really good loan program. And for those who want to purchase a manufactured home, they can get into one with just 3.5% down payment using FHA.
And that is generally, I mean, that's going to be the lowest down payment you can find for the manufactured homes.
Yeah, it really is. And maybe when we come back from the break, I'll go through a couple of different programs that we have for manufactured financing and get into more specifics.
Okay, perfect. That sounds fantastic. Some of the other things that you're going to want to consider, too, is when you're talking to Tom about those financing packages, before you rush into something at a dealer, sometimes the dealers will have land home packages or specific communities that they're sending you to or putting you into, and you're really going to want to shop those financing packages to see if that's the best place or if you need to be talking to somebody like Tom on a specific land or specific lot. The next biggest issue is when you find the land that you're after, is you have to be very specific about, will they allow manufactured homes?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we talk about a lot is what in the industry we shorten up and call CC&Rs, and that's covenants, conditions, and restrictions. And those run with the land, and in those CC&Rs, they dictate the rules of what you can or can't do with that land. And a lot of spots have where they do not allow manufactured homes. So if you're looking at your overall budget and the package you're going to be putting together, you're going to want to check those CC&Rs and make sure that the type of home you want to put on there is not excluded before you invest a lot of money in purchasing that land. So there's a couple other things to consider with manufactured homes. We'll talk more about that when we come back after the break,
right here on News Talk 870.
Today we've been going over the topic of manufactured homes, some of the things to consider when, if you're looking at the potential of purchasing a manufactured home versus a stick-built home, some of the pros and cons about it. One of the things we talked about before the break is a lot of it comes down to price, is will people be able to get into the home they want, get the square footage and bath they want for the correct price. And a lot of times a manufactured home is significantly less than a stick-built home. One of the other things to look at on the other side of the coin, though, is resale value. And that's probably the negative side of things on how we're looking at. For instance, as Tom went over before the break, generally the manufactured home loan programs are going to cost more down and a little bit more money, so maybe less attractive as far as financing options, but cheaper up front. Then on the resale value, you have, in the industry as a whole, there's kind of a mindset that versus an appreciating asset like the stick-built home, there's kind of the mindset out there that that's actually a depreciating, where that manufactured home is decreasing some in value every year. Now, however, you're kind of, there's a lot of factors that go into that. We can't just say that as a blanket statement, because you might have area appreciation, land appreciation offsetting some of those costs.
Neighborhood.
So that's some of the things that you definitely want to look into, is what your resale value is going to be. But in general, they do not appreciate nearly as fast as a stick-built home would. The next thing that you really want to be aware of is when you're working with a company that's going to place the manufactured home on your lot, is exactly what type of package that you're getting as far as the placement. There's different methods for placing the manufactured home. You can do cement runners down the middle of
that's
it that they
have.
Place it on. You could also do a block foundation. Is a little more expensive. I've seen block foundation with complete cement pad under. The block foundation is definitely more money, more excavation, but you get kind of your traditional vent wells and your traditional type foundation. The next thing that people always are having to check on when it comes to the loan program, too, is the proper engineering of that foundation. Is when you go to resell that property, they're going to require what's called an engineering certificate. And so that is going to be have to be checked out by an engineer, make sure that that was engineered properly. One of the other things they're looking at in manufactured homes are what are called, and part of that foundation process, are what are called tie downs. And these are the straps that secure the actual manufactured home to that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so without those, there are certain loan programs they're not going to qualify for. So those are some of the big things as far as foundation that we're looking at with the manufactured home. The next biggest issue that I run into a lot of times is changes to that manufactured home. Meaning if you're adding anything to it, a porch, deck, or railing, is going to fall under a Department of Labor and Industries inspection. And so one of the things, one of the biggest rules they have is that if you add a big deck or if you add a sunshade off the back, is that structure has to be self-supporting and not attached to the manufactured home. They do not want you piercing the shell of the manufactured home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very specific on how that needs to be done and does require an inspection. So it is not one of those things in this instance that I would suggest you really want to tackle yourself from the TLC DIY yourself show. because we've had a lot of sales delayed, canceled, or called back because of this, with what was beautiful decks and beautiful sunroom additions, and they completely violated the lending standards for manufactured homes.
Not to mention, if it's attached, it has to be self-standing, because there are certain requirements. A neighbor of mine had to go through this.
Yes.
Building permit.
Absolutely, 100%.
He made a real nice deck with a roof on it and all that, and it was completely self-supporting. And then he tied the shingles in, and they said, okay. But they said, if it depends on the house to help support it, you're talking building permit and a whole, because you're actually affecting the home.
Definitely. So those are some of the biggest issues that we run into on our end of things. And so if we have those addressed up front, those are some of the first questions that I'm always asking at those appointments. And that's what we're looking to, so that we can get those inspections done, find those permits, and make sure that we are fulfilling those requirements. Also, please, please, I implore you, if there are any tags or identification markers on your manufactured home, do not rip them off or paint over them to the fact where we cannot identify them. It becomes a major, major issue later on with financing.
And save your paperwork.
So I am going to turn some of this over to Tom to talk a little bit more about those issues, but from a real estate perspective, those are some of the
big ones that we're after. Yeah, so we started talking before the break about financing and some of the different requirements that Manufactured Home has. And now I want to get into three different specific programs in which we can lend for manufactured homes. The first and most common that we finance these homes with is FHA financing. Now, the first and biggest thing that we always look at, and when you're working with the Kenmore team, they're really versed on a lot of these rules, so they know about them. But the home must be constructed after June 15th of 1976. This is the date that the Federal Manufactured Home Construction and Safety Standard Board essentially increased the parameters in which manufactured home builders had to adhere to. Any manufactured home built before this date, it is ineligible for financing with us. Now, there may be some other hard money lenders out there who will finance a home that's older than 76. We won't. The rates would be, you know, through the roof. So just keep that in mind. June 15th, 1976. Now, we don't allow single wides, so it's got to be a double wide or a triple wide. Most of them, like Lance said, in this area are. The home must be permanently attached to a foundation, and it must be certified by a foundation engineer.
Exactly.
Now, just you throw the name engineer out there, and all of a sudden you start thinking, Jesus, it's going to be expensive. How do I do this? We take care of all that. And generally, the cost is around $350 to $400. Lance, I know with a lot of your listings, you'll just have your sellers do that ahead of time and just jump over that process.
Yeah, we don't want to delay that. We want to make sure that what's in there needs to be for whoever brings the offer. So, yeah, many times when we take the listing, we'll prepare our sellers ahead of time to get that done.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. It saves us a lot of time. Now, the home cannot be in a mobile home park or a rented lot. It's got to have what's called a title elimination done, and that will essentially make the home and the piece of land one parcel. The home itself comes in with a vehicular title, and a title elimination eliminates that title. Now, second move homes are not eligible, meaning that it can only be moved from the dealer to its current site. Any moves more than that, and you're not going to be able to get traditional financing. And again, we only require clients with FHA financing to put 3.5% down of the sales price. This is the only program we have for most people that will get you in with just 3.5% down, and you got to have a 660 credit score. Now, Lance, I have a zero down manufactured home program.
I don't believe it.
It's a true story. And it's maybe for the people who deserve it most, and that's for veterans.
Okay. Absolutely. Yes.
So VA is a great financing resource for eligible veterans that are wanting to purchase a manufactured home. Just like every other VA loan, it's zero down. And most of the same guidelines that we just went over for FHA apply to VA. However, we require a 680 credit score for someone using VA financing to purchase a manufactured home. Other than that, all the same guidelines apply as a traditional VA loan. Now, if someone comes to me and they have a larger down payment available to purchase a manufactured home, we'll always consider conventional financing. In general, conforming conventional financing is going to be the best a client can get under all circumstances, being as good as they can get. However, it has a higher down payment requirement for manufactured homes. For purchase transactions, we require a 20% down payment on these conventional loans and a minimum credit score of 660. Now, the benefit for a client of going conventional versus, say, FHA is that the client is able to avoid the monthly mortgage insurance and avoid the funding fee that FHA has. It saves a tremendous amount of money over the life of this loan. So if you have a down payment or you're close to having that 20% down, definitely try to go conventional. It's going to be your best option. So if you've been in the market for a manufactured home or you've been considering one, maybe you just want to get more information on it, if I didn't answer some more of the questions you have, feel free to call me at the office anytime, 783-7300. My website has a lot of great information, TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
And that's a great point that you brought up that I want to definitely put out there to folks as far as the resale value and the availability. And that's one of the things that happens is when you said to go conventional financing, they have to have 20% down. So if we're looking at a $150,000 purchase price, you're going to be at $30,000 minimum down to go conventional. that really kind of narrows your market, because now you're looking for somebody that's looking for a manufactured home and has over $30,000 to put down. So you're really kind of narrowing your market when you look to resale. We're always trying to, when we talk about value and the most value in a property, expand your market as wide as you possibly can to create more demand for your property. So financing in those instances definitely become an issue. And then, like you said, I think we kind of went over it quickly, but a major roadblock to people can be what you said about the move twice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, say a manufactured home was in a park on a rented lot, a lot of times you can look through and it looks pretty attractive. You can find some of these homes coming out of a park, you know, $30,000-$40,000 and a lot of square footage, and that seems really attractive because maybe somebody is giving up their lease or they're leaving that park. You could take that $30,000 manufactured home, put it on a piece of land you have, and be in it pretty cheap and have some value there. But now that that manufactured home has gone from the factory to the park and from the park to the land on the secondary market, you can no longer finance it. And I didn't want to just skip over that because we've seen properties like that before, and it's very, very difficult because with that, you're pretty much relegated to VA, right, being the only one to allow some move?
Not even that.
Nope. No,
we'll allow a second move with VA.
And so,
cash buyer.
And so you're down to a cash buyer in that instance or owner financing, and both of those, now you want to talk about a narrow market, now we're looking at a very thin line. So.
Well, and Lance, a lot of times someone who has the money to, say, pay cash for a manufactured home, most of the time they're not in the market for a manufactured home.
So those are definitely some of the big red flags we wanted to point out to people so they don't get into those situations, or if they have questions about being in those situations, what they can do to get out of them. So an interesting topic and a property, Tom, I'm glad you came up with the idea for the show today. I'm glad you brought that up because we run into it a lot of times. We have some great manufactured home listings right now that have come to us, and we sold one last week. And so there's definitely a market out there, and that's a segment that we work with, and I'm glad you brought up those issues for sure.
Yeah, you know, manufactured homes are great just in the sense that it lets people get more for their money. But you just got to know that there's some certain requirements, and maybe there's additional hoops you got to jump through. But if it gets you into the home that you love, and maybe you get more land than you could have with official, then fantastic.
Well, sounds great. Well, we'll be working this weekend, flipping and sliding around, so we'll know, doing what we can do. And then once again, we'll be right back here next week on New Stocking Service.